All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant from the Philadelphia suburbs. It is 10:25 at night here. We are right in the middle of all of the chaos with the college football. Of course, we're going to bring you the NFL picks. We're going to talk about the college football scenario. We got to break it down. I know I'm not the biggest college football guy. Maybe I'm not the most qualified to do this, but this is just a truly incredible situation with what's going on. But of course, we're going to give you the picks first. We're sitting at 40-18-2. We wrapped up the picks from week number 12 last week. We got five more plays for you with week number 13, which started, of course, with the Thursday night game with the Seahawks and the Cowboys. All right, so the first game that we're going to pick is the Broncos getting the 3 points at the Texans. Listen, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, they've steadied the ship. They're sitting at 6-5. This game is probably going to be for one of those AFC wildcard spots. Everything is on the line here for Denver and also for the Texans, because after they lost to the Jags, they're not going to be able to win this division. Denver, what they've done well during this streak has been less turnovers. Russell Wilson's been in charge of the game. He's thrown touchdown passes. The Denver Broncos on the streak, they've only gone for it on fourth down 5 times. So Sean Payton, in these close games, he's going to kick the field goal. He's not relying on these analytics to make all these crazy decisions that lead teams to lose. So because of that, I'm getting 3 points here. The Texans, I'm not really sure how much of a home field advantage that is. It's not like they're playing in Denver, where obviously you have the Mile High situation. So give me the Broncos getting the 3 points and going to 7-5. Well, I mean, I guess they could lose the game too by less than three, but give me the Broncos getting the 3 points at the Texans for game number one. Game number two, we're going to go to Nashville. The Colts at the Tennessee Titans. The Titans getting 1.5. Give me the Titans. Listen, this Tennessee team has won 4 games at home. They're getting points at home. Last week, we picked against them with the Panthers. We ended up looking like fools with eggs on our face. Do you really want to lay points with Gardner Minshew on the road? Like, really, is that the situation you want to be in when you open up your phone app? You know, when you run to the window, whatever the case might be? No, you don't want to do that. You don't at all. So give me the Titans with Vrabel, a solid coach when he's getting points, especially when he's getting points at home. So give me the Tennessee Titans getting 1.5 as they try to win their 5th game at home. Next game, we got the Panthers getting 3.5 at the Bucs. Listen, I picked the Panthers last week getting 3.5 on the road. And again, I look stupid. I look foolish. I should not have been backing Frank Reich. But you know what? I'm crazy enough to go back to this game, and I'm going to pick the Carolina Panthers after they get rid of Frank Reich. They got the interim coach there now. And I just don't think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are very good. I mean, the Bucs are 4-7. They're not a good quality football team. I know that they started off at 3-1, but they're not very good. And there's a reason why Baker Mayfield has bounced from team to team to team. Bryce Young, yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah, he's not as good as CJ Stroud, which makes it look terrible for the owner, makes it look terrible for the GM. But I think he's good enough to keep the game close. I think he's good enough to maybe win, especially in a division game in which the Bucs, like I said, with Todd Bowles coaching, Baker Mayfield playing quarterback, just aren't very good. So give me the Panthers getting 3.5. So that's the first 3 games in which I took dogs. I have not taken a tremendous amount of dogs this year, but neither has a lot of people, and the favorites have done really well this year. I mean, there have been pivotal spots where I've taken dogs. I went through the picks that I've taken dogs after getting that criticism in my DMs. But that's 3 dogs right here. So this is maybe putting myself out there in when I'm taking 3 dogs to start. But the last 2 games, we're going to be taking some favorites. So the next game that we're going to do the Chiefs -6 at the Packers. Listen, the Chiefs covered a pretty big number on the road last week with the 8.5, and they spotted the Raiders 14 points. I think Jordan Love has just been inconsistent all year. He's played much better as of late. That was a big win that they had against Detroit. But I don't think he can do it 2 weeks in a row. I think that the defense that Spagnuolo has there with Kansas City is among the strengths of their team, obviously, right there along with Mahomes. And I think that when I ask myself, is Patrick Mahomes at least 6 points better than Jordan Love? Yeah, that's pretty much how simple it is to handicap this game. I know the Chiefs don't always cover. I know the Chiefs don't always cover on the road, but it's less than a touchdown, and I'm getting Patrick Mahomes instead of Jordan Love. These teams have played before recently, actually, where Jordan Love was the quarterback when Rodgers was suspended or didn't play because of COVID, whatever the case might be. But, I mean, Jordan Love is obviously a lot better now. We know that. But I still think he's not good enough to cover a six-point spread against Patrick Mahomes. And the last game, give me the San Francisco 49ers in Philly, in enemy lines, laying the 3 points. Yes, that's right, laying the 3 points. When I knew that this game was going on, because I didn't remember that this game was going to be during week 13. I thought it was later in the season for some reason. I looked it up and I saw that the Niners were favored by that 3 points. And I don't think it's budged at all. And if it has, it came right back to the three. I think that the Niners are the better team pretty much at every advanced analytical measure, even if it's simple things like third down percentage. I think that the Niners really have no weakness on offense. I think that you're underrating Brock Purdy from Gilbert, Arizona, from Iowa State, because of the fact he was Mr. Irrelevant, because, you know, he's not really all that big of a guy, 6 foot and 5'8", I think he is. But this Niner team is legit when Trent Williams plays. This Niner team is legit when Deebo Samuel plays. They got McCaffrey, obviously, and they got Ayuk. Solid weapons to go along with a solid defense. Chase Young in there, two in the mix. And I think for the Eagles, if Lane Johnson isn't going to play, I mean, this is a right tackle. He's been on my top five players pretty much for, you know, he wasn't on the past few years, but he's been on that list plenty of times. And that's top five players overall in the league. And I think that if Lane Johnson doesn't play, it's just, it's not good for them. They're not as good. And, I mean, he's going to play, it looks like, but you'd have to figure he's somewhat hobbled, and he missed the game last week, practiced fully this week. All right, so he's going to play. But at the same point, like, he's coming back, you'd have to consider, even though he was injured, is that going to affect them? And I think it's going to. Dallas Goedert, there's been some injury with him. So it just, there's a lot going on here with this Eagle team. How many of these close games can you win against elite teams like Kansas City? Buffalo is not elite, but they have an elite quarterback who played really well for most of the game, even though he didn't get it done at the end. So because of all these challenges that they've faced with Kansas City, with Buffalo, even with Dallas before those two games, it's tough to go through a gauntlet of a schedule like that. And this is not a shot at the Eagles, because if you listen to the last pod, I mean, you probably wanted to throw up with the amount of roses that I gave in that team's direction. And rightfully so. There's nothing that I said that was untrue, even though I don't like the team. I'm a Giant fan through and through. But I think that here, all the numbers are showing you, take the 49ers. It's 3 points. If it got to 3.5, it would probably be a pass. But I think the 49ers, I'd be willing to put myself out there. If it's 3.5, I think I would still take it. I think that the 49ers are going to win this game by at least a touchdown. Red and gold, never fold for the San Francisco 49ers, because I just don't think that the Eagles can play these intense games. And also, one other thing, the revenge factor. Purdy got knocked out of this game early last year in the NFC title game. They didn't have a quarterback at one point after Johnson got hurt, too, the backup after that got hurt. I mean, they're running around. McCaffrey's trying to figure out how to put the helmet on that has the play calling sheet. The fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, same thing. I mean, they were playing without a quarterback, so it's just kind of like this is their revenge spot to go out there and beat them. So, yeah, give me the 49ers. I know they're laying the 3 points down the road from where I'm sitting right now, but give me the 49ers laying the three. So the five picks, the Broncos getting three, Titans getting 1.5 at home, the Panthers getting 3.5 at the Bucks, Chiefs laying the 6 in Green Bay, and the 49ers laying the 3 on the road. So we've got two road favorites. We're going with two road dogs, and we're going with a home dog. A little bit of everything here sprinkled all throughout the mix. All right, now this college football. I watched the SEC title game earlier today. And the key play where it comes down to is actually a false start, as insane as that sounds, because Georgia was about to kick a 45-yard field goal. there's a false start, pushes it back to 50. The kick probably had enough of the distance there, but it was tailing, kind of like if you hit a slice off the tee while you're playing golf, if you're a right-handed golfer going to the right, a left-handed golfer going to the left. And because of the fact that it was tailing, not enough. And 3 points is the difference in the game. It was a pretty well-played game, you know, overall there. Alabama, no surprise that they were going to win. Saban is a big-time coach. Understand that they had, you know, loss earlier in the year to Texas, but this is the SEC champion. And then here's the issue. And we're sitting here as of recording. It's 10:35 at night. So to cue you in on the scores right now, or the scores right now from where I'm at, because when you're listening, it's going to be much later. But Michigan's up 17-0. No surprise in the third quarter. Florida State is up 10-3 over Louisville in the third quarter. The dilemma that this committee has is very simple. You want to go through the list, right? You've got Washington, who's going to be in no matter what. They won the Pac-12 title. They beat Oregon. That's going to be enough. Beating them twice this year is going to be significant enough to have them have them in play here for the title. So they're definitely in. Michigan, let's just assume that they win because they're up 17-0 against an absolute hapless Iowa team. I got to put them in. I got to put them in. They're in too. The issue, and I it's unfortunate it's going to come down to this. Texas beat Alabama, as most people know. So even though Alabama is in the SEC, I think Texas is going to be in, and I think you have to take a Florida State team. I don't know what type of championship it can be where a team goes undefeated, doesn't lose a single game, and they're in a Power 5 conference, and they're not going to be able to make the playoff. Is Alabama really climbing up four spots from number 8 to number 4? I don't think so. It's kind of crazy, too, that Georgia's falling out of the mix, because going into today, I thought that maybe there was a scenario in which Georgia could still get in as well. I thought that if you really wanted to punish Michigan, which they're not going to, but if they wanted to punish Michigan for the transgressions with the cheating, I thought that you could have a number one where the Pac-12 champion in Washington would be there, Alabama 2, Texas 3, just to kind of, you know, stir the pot, give it a rematch, and then go Georgia number 4. And in doing this, because Georgia lost by a field goal, it was a pretty darn close game. In doing this, you don't have a rematch between Alabama and Georgia, but you have a rematch between Alabama and Texas. But the problem is, Florida State's going to win. Michigan's going to win, and they're not going to kick Michigan out for their cheating. So that scenario doesn't work. So you're going to have the Pac-12 champion in Washington. You're going to have Michigan. You're going to have Florida State. And I think at this point in time, you're going to have Texas. I think because of the fact that Texas beat Alabama earlier in the year. So it's not that you're necessarily going to have the four best teams, which they seek out to put in. This is just like one of the weirdest scenarios. And I guess if you're into, you know, wanting it to be at 12 teams, I think that that's just, I think that that's where it's at, because now you've got everyone in there. Just to give you an idea, though, as I say this, though, as crazy it is, just to give you an idea, when you pull up DraftKings, Michigan is the favorite to win the title at plus 130. Alabama is at plus 340, and in the scenario I just laid out, they're not even in the Final Four. So if these results hold, like I said, I think the scenario that you have is Michigan at the number one seed. I think you go Washington number 2. I think you go Florida State number 3, and I think you go Texas number 4. But ironically, Florida State is listed only ahead of Georgia and behind Washington as the number 5 best odds to win the college football national championship. And that's because they don't have their starting quarterback in there. And maybe they falter. They're only up 10-3 right now. But it's just, it's kind of crazy that Alabama, there's a legitimate chance. You could make the legitimate argument, as I just did, because of the fact that Florida State and Michigan are going to go undefeated and win their Power 5 conferences, that Alabama, with the one loss earlier in the year to Texas, is not going to be in there. And I think that the airwaves, social media, everywhere out there knows that Alabama belongs in there based on them winning today. And quite frankly, they know Georgia belongs in there too if you're talking about picking the best four teams. The one thing that I think will just lead to the crazy amount of outrage, though, would be this scenario. And it's obviously Washington in there, Michigan in there, Florida State in there. But instead of going Texas, you go Alabama. Because if you do that, you're basically saying that their regular season meeting early in the year didn't mean a darn thing. And I just don't think you could do that because, yes, it's a committee. Yes, it's a selection process. But the games on the field have to count for something too. So you can't just do that. And I'm going to check one more place. We're going to pull up FanDuel right now in addition to DraftKings and see what they have going on here in terms of odds for the national championship. Yeah, it's pretty – oh, no, they've got something a little different where DraftKings had Alabama at plus 350. They've got Texas and Alabama tied at plus 400. So that's kind of crazy. That there's a slight price adjustment there. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who you put in. I do know who you put in. It sounds like I'm rambling all over the place. I do know who you put in. You put in Michigan, assuming their game holds, which it will. You put in Washington because they're already in. You go Texas and you go Florida State. And it's crazy that you leave out the SEC champion. In Alabama, it's crazy you leave out the two-time defending champion who only lost to Alabama. But I think if you talk about fair, that's how it is. That's how the fair way to play out. So it's worth noting this committee could do something crazy. And I think the fact that Alabama is the number two favorite right now on multiple sports books, even though they're tied with FanDuel, I think it's worth monitoring to see that they could do something crazy, have Alabama be a big mover from number 8, possibly all the way up to number 4. All right, Sloss Rant live from the Philadelphia suburbs. They're going to be real helped out if Florida State loses because then you can go, of course, with Washington, Michigan, Texas, and Alabama. That's a pretty darn good Final Four. So this committee is really praying and hoping that Florida State loses. They're still up 10-3 in the third quarter at the time of recording, so this could be obsolete. So those are the two scenarios, though. Florida State loses, I think Alabama will get in. I don't think Alabama gets in if Florida State wins. So there's that. The picks again for tomorrow. You got Broncos plus 3, Titans plus 1.5 at home, Panthers plus 3.5 on the road, Chiefs laying the 6 at the Packers, the 49ers laying the 3 at the Eagles. Sloss Rant live, Philadelphia suburbs. Enjoy the games. And Tuesday night, if that's what I believe when the playoff picture comes out for college football, that should be real interesting. Definitely going to be a lot to talk about and break down there, and maybe we'll scream about it and jump on with a reaction podcast. Sloss Rant live. We'll see you later.